It was supposed to be a simple robbery, a group of six acquaintances who wanted to take back their stuff. But someone brought a loaded weapon, and when things got heated, it got used. But a new law changed who was held responsible. This is the story of Corey Elder and the two women who say they're not at fault for his murder. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On the evening of April 27, 2017, a group of six people planned to break into 19-year-old Corey Elder's apartment in Bloomington, Minnesota. It's Minnesota's fourth largest city, about 10 miles south of downtown Minneapolis. It's where the Mall of America is, the largest mall in the Western Hemisphere. The group wanted to ransack Corey's apartment and give him a scare. They recruited 33-year-old Maurice Furser to help them because he had a gun. The group met up in the parking lot of the Hampshire Hill Apartments and got ready to force their way in. They were going to try to steal some pills and a video game console. Maurice's gun was loaded, but they didn't plan for him to use it. Like I said, they were just going to rough up Corey. 19-year-old Megan Cater and 20-year-old Brianna Martinson knocked on Corey's door. When Corey's girlfriend opened it, the two women and two men barreled inside. The men began beating Corey, who put up a fight. So Maurice shot Corey. He dragged Corey to a bed next to his girlfriend and pressed a Colt 45 to Corey's neck. The bullet hit Corey's jugular and did serious damage to his skull and spine. The group ran back to their car, where 19-year-old Alex Strait and 20-year-old Noah Peterson were waiting. When police arrived around 10:45 p.m., Corey Elder was dead. There was blood throughout the apartment and blood surrounding Corey. He had blunt force trauma to the head and face. Authorities were able to recover the gun that beat and killed him, and Corey's girlfriend was able to name her acquaintances, Brianna and Megan, as two of the intruders. Authorities found Megan first, with drugs stolen from Corey's apartment in her car. She immediately named Alec and Noah named his friend Terrence. 20-year-old Terrence Murphy told the police everything. Megan, Brianna, and Noah were quickly charged with second-degree murder, burglary, and assault. The other three were questioned by police but hadn't been charged when the news first broke, but by the following week, all six had been charged. Five of them waived their Miranda rights, admitting that they had been involved. Later that month, the Minneapolis Star Tribune ran a story about the gunman Maurice's 14-year-old daughter and how children pay for the violence of their parents. The girl said her dad grew up rough with nothing going for him. She said he was a follower, and that's what got him into trouble. He had previous drug convictions and was a suspect in multiple assault and domestic violence cases. Basically, the perfect person to call on if you want to rough someone up. In May 2017, a grand jury indicted all six of the group for first-degree murder. By January 2018, Alec, Maurice, and Terrence had all pleaded guilty to second-degree murder charges. On January 22nd, Megan and Brianna were set to go to trial and faced life in prison. Their attorneys were prepared to argue that they had been forced into helping with the crime, that their lives had been threatened. The prosecutors, on the other hand, were going to argue that Megan and Brianna were the most at fault because they had set up the whole thing. But at the last minute, the two women pleaded guilty for a plea deal. They admitted that they had set up the robbery and that it had gone wrong. Brianna's lawyer said, "It just shows what can happen when young people get involved with drugs." They would now be sentenced to between 10 and 16 years in prison. Thanks to their confession, we got to hear the entire story of this horrible plan and how it ended in tragedy. On April 26, 2017, Brianna noticed her seizure medication was missing. And of course, she needed her meds, but also she was planning to sell some of the pills. Apparently, they were a strong painkiller in addition to preventing seizures. Brianna and her friend Megan had been at Corey Elder's apartment the day before, so she assumed she had left them there. And indeed, Corey and his girlfriend woke up on the 26th and noticed the pills. And yes, he sold drugs, so he told his girlfriend not to say anything, and he would just add them to his stash. Friends say Corey grew up kind and sweet, the kind of person who just wanted to entertain people. He was funny, and he was a performer. He wanted to be a famous rapper. But when he started dealing weed at the age of 14, he got addicted to the money it brought in. His rapping dreams fell by the wayside. But his mom said he was always a hard worker and had been looking into going to school to become a mechanic. Corey's girlfriend said that he was the reason she graduated from high school, and he was always pushing people that way, encouraging them. Corey loved to golf, swim, and kayak, things he learned from his grandmother as she tried to stand in for the father who had abandoned him before he was born. His mom said it was hard raising the funny, rowdy boy as a single parent, and he had recently apologized to her for being difficult sometimes. She said, sure, he wasn't perfect, but he didn't harm anybody in his life. Brianna just knew that her seizure pills were at Corey's, so she said she was going to give him a chance to come clean, and then she was going to bring in what she called her ghetto friends from nearby Shakopee over to his place to shake him down. She texted her friend Alec the next day about her quote-unquote stolen pills. I'm not exactly sure it's stealing when you're busy buying drugs and leave something behind at your dealer's house, but I recognize that these people are perhaps not interested in semantics. Alex said Corey had stolen his Xbox back when they were roommates, so he was up for getting that back, too. They hatched a plan to text Corey's girlfriend to buy some Xanax, and Alex said that they would then beat the shit out of Corey and take everything when they got in the door. They decided to split the loot 50-50 because that's how real friends do their robberies. Brianna asked Alec if he had a gun, and luckily, he knew someone who knew someone. Alec's friend Noah had known Terrence Murphy since junior high. Terrence lived with his friend Maurice. And when Maurice heard that Noah was promising coke and money in exchange for helping to rob someone, he wanted in on the deal. Maurice would get the gun. That same afternoon, Megan texted Brianna that the plan was a go. I want to read you the message she sent in my basic white girl voice. It said, dude, Al wants to run up on him tonight. Alec's friend has a strap. He's from South Mini. You should note that every text between these women seems to begin with, dude. That night, all six of the would-be robbers sat in a car outside Corey's apartment and fleshed out the details. Megan and Brianna would go in first and find the stuff to steal. Terrence and Maurice would follow to scare Corey and his girlfriend, beat them up a little. Alec and Noah would be the getaway drivers. Megan told the police that as they were walking up to the door, one of the guys said that if the girls tried to flake out, he'd kill them. When Corey's girlfriend let Megan and Brianna in the door, they ran to where they knew the drugs were stored, in Corey's bedroom. They grabbed coke and Xanax while Maurice forced Corey's girlfriend onto the bed. Megan says he threatened to kill all of them if they tried to leave the bedroom, although later reports say Megan and Brianna weren't in the bedroom when the murder occurred. I'm not sure if that's the truth or their lawyers trying to make them seem less guilty because they were threatened. Maurice pointed his gun at the girlfriend's head while Terrence beat up Corey. Then Maurice pistol-whipped Corey as Corey tried to make his way to his girlfriend. As he collapsed onto the bed next to her, Corey dared Maurice to shoot him. Megan says she and Brianna begged Maurice to stop, but it was too late. Maurice had killed Corey, shot him through the neck. The four intruders ran back to the car. Corey's girlfriend told Fox 9, "And even though I didn't die that day, as I watched him die and held him as he took his last breaths, a huge part of me did. I hope Corey is experiencing peace wherever he is." Five of the defendants, everyone except the gunman Maurice, were sentenced in April 2018, where Corey's mom had a chance to share her victim impact statement. She and her supporters wore pink t-shirts because Corey had said that real men wear pink. His mom called Corey an old soul with a heart of gold. She called the five defendants young, dumb, suburban drug addicts. The young, dumb, suburban drug addicts, in turn, asked the judge to take pity on them and for Corey's family to forgive them. Megan said, "I was living the life of a drug addict. In honor of Corey, I can change my life around and do something positive. I wish I could go back and do what was right." Brianna said to Corey's girlfriend, "You are my friend, and I took away your love. This wasn't supposed to happen. Drugs took me to an evil place." The judge said, "To the five defendants, this is not the end for you, unlike Corey. You can make choices on what track this is going to take you." She then sentenced Brianna and Megan to 162 months, or 13.5 years, in prison. Alec and Noah, the getaway drivers, were given 153 months, or 12.75 years. Terrence pleaded guilty to second-degree assault in addition to the second-degree aiding and abetting a felony murder that the others were charged with. He got 20 years. A week later, Maurice was sentenced almost 32 years for actually pulling the trigger, all for 90 pills and an Xbox. Corey's mom said, "We were fighting for justice for my son. Now we have justice, my son." Now, this was, of course, a tragic case on its own, but some news recently came out about it that made me want to have a closer look. On February 17th, KARE11 reported that 27-year-old Brianna and 25-year-old Megan had been released from prison. A judge in Bloomington vacated their charges for aiding and abetting a felony murder because the definition for that charge changed in Minnesota in 2023. Now, aiding and abetting a felony murder is defined as used a deadly weapon during the commission of the underlying felony or provided a deadly weapon to another participant where it was reasonably foreseeable that the weapon would be used in the underlying felony. Caused substantial bodily harm to another during the commission of the underlying felony. Coerced or hired a participant to undertake actions in furtherance of the underlying felony that proximately caused the death, and where it was reasonably foreseeable that such actions would cause death or great bodily harm, or impeded another person from preventing the death either by physical action or by threat of physical action, where it was reasonably foreseeable that death or great bodily harm would result. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office says, "The new law means people are held accountable for the crimes they commit, not the crimes someone else committed. A judge determined these two individuals were involved in a burglary, but that their actions were not murder and that they did not aid in the committing of the murder. The legislature's changes to the law means they cannot be charged with or convicted of murder under the circumstances of this case." And it's true, Brianna and Megan didn't seemingly do any of those things that define aiding and abetting. At Corey's apartment that night, they didn't use the gun nor provide the gun. They didn't beat up Corey. They weren't the ones who got Maurice to bring the gun, and they didn't stop anyone from preventing Corey's death. They say they actually begged Maurice not to kill him.
Two people connected to the murder of a Bloomington teenager in 2017 have been resentenced and are out of prison tonight. A Hennepin County judge released them following a change to a state law on aiding and abetting.
They were resentenced on charges of aiding and abetting a first-degree burglary, which, as you can imagine, carries significantly less prison time. Megan now received 5.75 years, and Brianna got 4.75 years. Since they had both served more than 6 years, they were released from prison that day. They're believed to be the first convicts to have benefited from the change in the Minnesota law. Corey's girlfriend, the one who was next to him when he was killed, said that she was disappointed in the justice system. She understandably feels emotionally scarred by the incident and is upset that these two get to start fresh.
Really upset, definitely. It's probably the most irritating part about it, besides the fact that he's actually dead and gone and they get a second chance, but he doesn't get one.
Even the Bloomington police chief spoke out against letting the women out of prison. He said none of the other four gentlemen were at Elder's house without the two women.
Bloomington Chief Hodges here. This last week, been getting a lot of calls about the early release of convict Cater and convict Matheson, who orchestrated a group of people to murder Mr. Corey Elder in his apartment while he was there with his girlfriend. Convict Matheson and Cater, I'm gonna put up this collage here, organized these groups of individuals here. So the guys on the right, they did not go into the apartment. They remained in the car. And Mr. Alec Stroit and Noah Peterson each got 12 years for this. And the two guys on the left got 17 years and the other got 28 years. Mr. Verser did the shooting. None of these people on this collage are here if it isn't for convict Matheson and Cater. The county attorney in her statement said that Ms. Cater and Matheson have been held accountable for the harm they actually intended to cause. I'm gonna put up the picture again from Mr. Elder. Ask him about the harm they intended to cause. He's not here. He's courtside cemetery right now. He's got a family that loves him very much. I know they're frustrated. We're frustrated. Our detectives put in a lot of work in this case in 2017. But convicts Cater and Matheson are out of prison earlier than they should be. And I'm going to put up this collage again. Understand me. None of these people are here in this apartment if it wasn't for them. Crocodile tears. It's amazing what some people get with crocodile tears. Convicts, you're still convicts. You're out. You're going to live a decent life, I hope. I hope you've learned a lot from this. But bottom line is, you should have still continued to serve the time. None of those people were there if it weren't for you. And when I see people's mugshots and they're smiling, crocodile tears comes to my mind. So the family of Mr. Elder, I know you're frustrated that he's not here and saddened, but just know that there's a lot of us in this system, it might not seem like it, that still focus on victims. And I will always focus on victims.
The real sucker punch is that Brianna and Megan were released the day after Corey's birthday. His family still celebrates his life every year on that day. As for the rest of the group, Alec and Noah have applied to have their convictions vacated, and Terrence has already been denied. The judge decided that he was too involved in the incident and had pointed the gun at Corey's girlfriend. Still, Yahoo News reports that there are 550 people who have been or will be notified by the DOJ that they might be entitled to reduced charges. So I'm curious what you think about the change in the law and whether or not justice has been served in the case of Corey Elder. My feeling is that while Brianna and Megan didn't directly commit the murder, they certainly share responsibility for it. I'm not sure anyone would have been in Corey's apartment that day without Brianna hatching the plan over her missing medication. Terrence and Maurice wouldn't have been there if the women didn't need someone with a gun. But Brianna and Megan technically didn't know Maurice was going to kill Corey. They definitely wanted a gun to be there to scare Corey, but the plan was never to kill him. And in the end, Brianna and Megan served over 6 years in prison. Did this lesser sentence actually better align with their crime in the end? Is 6 years maybe the right amount of time to put someone in prison for planning a robbery that went wrong? In 2022, the Minnesota legislature created a task force to analyze whether the state's aiding and abetting a felony murder law needed to change. The task force reported that those in their teens through mid-20s are in a unique stage of brain development that make them less capable to assess risk and consequences and more apt to be motivated by emotion and peer pressure than those older. So basically, younger people should get a little leniency because they don't have as much wisdom yet. The task force also spoke to the Minnesota Alliance on Crime, which advocates for victims and their families. They said that aiders and abettors shouldn't be punished for the homicidal acts of others, and that the vast majority of their members would support reforms that allow people to be released from prison now with shorter sentences. So these are survivors saying that they agree with people like Brianna and Megan getting lighter punishments retroactively. So would you be able to take the high road like that if it was your family member who had been murdered? It's hard for me to put myself in their shoes and be as emotionally mature. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.